The garment I'm sharing with you today is full of interesting details. It's a type that will make you slow down and it will take a few days to make. I am probably not going to revisit this pattern again and I'll be sharing with you why. And it's a jacket. Hong Kong finishes. Keep watching. Hi sewing friends, I'm Karina from liftingpinsandneedles.com. Welcome to this channel that is all about sewing. Limitless sewing. In this channel, you'll find over 400 videos of sewing, and each of them brings you practical content that you can apply to your own sewing at home, packed with sewing footage and unique tricks and tips that I've picked up along more than 30 years of sewing. There will always be something practical for you to take away. If you think that's cool, go ahead and subscribe, tap on the bell so you don't miss out when new videos go live. Today is about the Soraya jacket from Sew Over It. I hadn't sewn a Sew Over It pattern in about 2 years maybe. I did sew several of them in the past. When I saw this release, I kept this pattern at the back of my mind. So I'd been on a sort of jacket making frenzy. And I put up 3 jacket options there for the ladies that join me on the Orchid tier to vote for a full sew along that I do every month on Patreon. And most of the votes were for this jacket. So that is why I made it at the end of September and I'm sharing it with you now. Thank you so much to all of you who value my work and who go the extra mile and sign up on my Patreon page. I am very, very grateful for your support there and you keep me motivated every month to keep going. Knowing that you're there is very special to me and I'm very, very, very grateful for your support. Thank you so, so much for being my patron. So the Soraya jacket is made for woven fabrics. And it has a lot of details. I'll put a diagram here on the screen so you can see what they are. As a general description, when you just look at this line art and you see the modeled photos on the website, you can see it's a shorter type of trench coat. That's how I see it. And I say the word trench coat because that is the sort of word I know. I know Sew Over It calls it a mac. I think a mac might be a more of a British terminology for this type of design. I can't get myself to say mac, but I'll say it here. It's like a shorter mac. I'll call it a trench coat. And it's not meant for the rain or anything. It just has some of those features that you would see on these types of trench coats, only that this one is shorter. On the shoulders, you'll see some epaulets, these little tab things that are folded. You can put a button there or just sew it by hand. On the front and the back, you'll see these round storm flaps. Those are lined. You have separate pieces for that and they all go sewn onto the armhole. And then the sleeve gets sewn on there. You'll find some darts on the armholes on the front and the back, but the storm flaps cover those so you don't see them. On the center of the jacket, you'll find a collar, and going down, you'll see that the front just hangs open. It's not closed in any way, it just hangs in the center front, and you'll have welt pockets, fully functioning welt pockets on each side. At the back, there is a center back seam with a vent. And as for the sleeves, they are a two-piece sleeve, and at the hem of the sleeve there are these little loops with a cuff piece that goes there. I think that looks really nice. I like that detail there. This jacket is meant to have the body be unlined, so you just have facings inside finishing everything, and the only portion of the jacket that's lined is the sleeves. I guess it's to make putting on the jacket easier if you're wearing a long sleeve garment underneath. I usually tend to do it the opposite way when I make lined things. I usually line the body of the jacket and leave the sleeves unlined just because it's too hot and I can't take the two layers there. I have never made a jacket that only has lined sleeves and I wasn't going to start with this jacket, so my jacket is totally unlined. Inside, all the seams are bias bound, so you have Hong Kong finishes, that's part of the instructions. This jacket is meant to be worn in the spring autumn type weather, and the fabric that you need to use needs to have a component of drape in there. You don't want anything too stiff. So the pattern recommends a heavier type of crepe, a wool, a linen, some suiting. The garment is a little bit oversized and the storm flaps, all those features need to drape nicely. You don't want anything too stiff. The fabric I've chosen is a linen rayon blend. Mainly linen, less rayon in the blend. I'm not too sure of the composition right now. I can feel more the texture of the linen in there and it's not as drapey, but it's not as stiff as pure linen would be either. It does crease though. What are you gonna do? You only need a small piece of lining fabric for your sleeves And for the Hong Kong finish, you can use store-bought bias tape. You'll need about 6 yards, maybe 5 meters. And if you want to make it yourself, you'll need about 0.5 meter of maybe the same fabric you're using for the lining of the sleeves to make your own bias tape. The Soraya jacket comes in sizes 6 to 30 UK. That in US sizing is the equivalent to a 2 to a 26 US, because it's not the same. US sizing is not the same as UK sizing. The upper measurements are a bust of 57 and a hip of 60, although the waist is more important here than the hips, because this is a cropped jacket. It does not reach, not even the mid hip. It's quite short. The length, if you measure from the nape of the neck to the bottom, depends on the size, is around 20 inches. There is a lot of positive ease in this pattern. At the bust, around 8 inches. And at the waist, there's 14 inches. There's no shaping on the waist. The side seams are pretty much straight. I went a whole size down and I printed out a size 14. That ends up with 5 inches of positive ease at the bust for me, which is perfectly fine, considering that I would wear this type of jacket with just one layer that will most likely be sleeveless and very thin layer. If you want to make this out of a wool and you plan to wear a chunky sweater underneath or a big turtleneck, and you are going to have actual layers under a jacket like this, I suggest making the size according to your measurements. I wouldn't suggest sizing down, because you will need all that space to fit all those clothes underneath. Don't get too excited looking at the finished garment measurements and leaving yourself like only 2 inches of positive ease. That's not going to be enough. I think it's reasonable to size down only one size if you are planning to wear this jacket with a light layer underneath. I wanted to share with you how important observing the website and the modeled photos are, because you can get a lot of information from there just about how the garment is fitting and some things that you should be looking out for when you make it for yourself. Now, when you go to Sew Over It website, you'll find like 10 photographs there of the same garment made in maybe 3 or 4 different types of fabric, modeled by different people. And I can see some things that are sort of repetitive on all these modeled pictures. One of them, also in conjunction with my previous experience with Sew Over It patterns, is that on the modeled photos, the shoulders look super wide. So the shoulder seam isn't actually on the shoulder, the sleeve there, it's hanging lower. And I have had that experience in the past with the Coco jacket and with some blouses I've made. The other thing I already mentioned is that the jacket is really short. And I can see that on the modeled photos. Maybe some people like that. Maybe some people want to wear a really cropped jacket that hits the waist. Anything that hits my waist would just highlight the fact that I have a short torso in relation to my length. So let's hop into the practical bits. Don't you think this is starting to wear me? You've been Okay, so I've made a muslin just with one sleeve. I have a fitted top, sort of similar way that I would wear a jacket like this, to make sure I've got the appropriate ease for how I'm going to dress with it. If you are going to actually wear garments underneath, I would recommend making the proper size based on body measurements on the chart. I sized down one because I will not be layering much underneath at all. And this is a straight size 14 and it fits perfect, I think. It's meant to fall open on the front and it's looking nice and straight down the center. It's falling nicely. It is super short. Oh my gosh, it's so short. And I mean, other people like this length. Consider that the hem is 1.5 inches. So yeah, it would be so, so short. I think I'm going to lengthen for sure by 2 inches on the main. And that won't make it that much longer. It'll still fit the high hip area. For the sleeve, once I fold up the hem, it's going to be short of me. Not that much. But I think I'll need about 5/8 of an inch extra length on the sleeves. This little dart is okay. I mean, it's an armhole dart. It'll bring the sleeve in and it won't be seen. There's a little dart on the back there as well, right there. And the little vent. The shoulder looks so low, like it just is not a good look in my opinion. I don't like it. I think I'm going to do a moderate amount, only 5/8 of an inch, I think, is going to be okay for it to be sort of at the edge right there. So I was able to set it in okay. There's no huge puckers or anything, but there is quite a lot of ease there. It's not the easiest sleeve to set in, for sure, comparing to others. It's a two-piece sleeve, so it should twist less than ones that don't have that. I mean, this fabric is terrible. Anything looks terrible in it. So they are majorly just length adjustments that were predictable by just looking at the original design. And the shoulder adjustment, a little bit, shouldn't be that bad. These are the main pieces. This is the front and this is the back. And I'd mentioned I was going to add some length. I did it first on the front to just make sure I wasn't upsetting the welt pocket placement. You can see these welt pocket markings. I didn't want to cut around there and lengthen it there to upset that. So right on all those dots, right on top of that welt pocket marking is where I drew my line. And it's just above that notch there on the center front, like 3/8 of an inch above that. That's where I drew my line across and added 2 inches there. The side seams are pretty straight, so I didn't need to true anything there. And this side was pretty straight too, so it didn't really deform the jacket at all. I looked at the reference here on the side seam, which was just below that notch, and did a line exactly in the same place on the back right there. So I added the 2 inches there as well. It won't affect anything. It won't affect the vent. It won't affect anything at all in construction. It's just going to make the jacket longer. These are the two sleeve pieces. I also added length there, and there are no shorten and lengthen lines in this pattern, so I just chose an area that would disrupt less as well. And I wanted to add it in the same place. So on this side, there is a notch there, the last notch. So it's the upper sleeve or the top sleeve on that side. It curves in like that, and there's several notches, 1, 2, 3 on this side. On the third notch is where I drew a line across, and on the inner sleeve, this is the one that gets sewn on there like that. There are notches to match too, 1, 2, 3. So on the same third notch there and there is where I drew the line across, added some paper and added 5/8 of an inch. You can see my shoulders are pretty much cut up. I did a narrow shoulder adjustment for 5/8 of an inch. I just made sure to slash here above these darts that this pattern has, is to not disrupt that too much. But that's how you can keep the seam line even. You don't change the stitching line on the sleeve by doing this method, so the sleeve is going to fit perfect. It's just that the shoulders are going to be narrower. These are the main pieces, the front and the back. To mark everything I had to mark on this pattern, I used 3 things. I used my tracing paper with a wheel. I use this to mark darts. There's darts there on the armholes, and I can really see them clearly with this. It was a really good marking tool. The other place I marked with that is the welt pocket. But this is not the thing that you're going to sew. It's where the interfacing should be. And I marked that on the pattern, and now I know exactly where to fuse it onto, and it's going to be centered on the welt pocket marking. So after I fuse this little piece right on that rectangle, I'm going to grab my pattern piece again and mark the smaller welt pocket placement line, but on this side. So it'll be a process. This comes off with the iron, so it's not like I'm staining on the right side of the fabric. You know, if I mark with this, it'll come right off when I iron it later. And I've also used chalk to mark all the notches, so there are little lines and notches everywhere. I've just used a yellow chalk. It's really good. It doesn't come off that easily. And to mark dots on collars in other places, I've used a coloring pencil that I dip in water, and then I just go like that, and it makes a perfect dot. So they're all yellow, they're just different for different types of markings, and that's what I've done. So the jacket uses a two-piece sleeve, which is awesome. I think all jackets should have that. And it's got a top sleeve and an under sleeve. That's how this pattern calls it. They all have notches along the edges to match them together. These are the sides that go together there. And then that side goes together with that one, and you won't go wrong if you mark your notches. You have 2 little notches here, you have 2 little notches there, you have 2 there. It's just like putting together a puzzle. Along the sleeve cap, there are a lot of notches actually, lots more than you would see on a typical sleeve. I'm about to do some serious binding now. I'm going to bind the side seams and around the pockets, and I'll probably do the facings as well to just have them ready. The instructions say you can use ready-made tape or make yourself. This is about the size of the tape that I make myself with the 18 millimeter bias tape maker. This is what I'll be using for my jacket, but I'll show you how I'm gonna do it with this little scrap of chiffon type. So the instructions say to sew right sides together to the fabric and sew on that crease there. That's how the instructions say to do it. So you would sew all along the edge on that ridge like that. Little crease mark, and then you would flip it over, turn it around, and then sew again. And this is where you don't catch the one on the other side, and it's super annoying, and you have to basically sew twice. When you can just do it easier, I like doing it like this, and it's the same thing. You just wrap your tape around the raw edge in one go, and you pin it along the edge, making sure you have the same amount here and there. And you just pin like that and sew. Boom, done. So that is the way I'm going to bind everything. When I use my proper tape, I'm going to be changing the top thread to a color that matches this much better than navy. Probably like a darker beige tone or something. It'll look better. And I'm going to make sure to have the top stitching be on the right side of the fabric. So I will know which one's the right side of the fabric on my pieces because I'll have pockets and darts and things that will signify to me what's the wrong side super easily. So on the right side, I'm going to be wrapping and sewing in this way so that the visible top stitching is on the right side of the fabric, because on the inside, when you fold your seam inside, that's what's going to be seen, not the one under there. So that's how I'm going to bind everything, side seams, facings, and around the pockets. So I'm about to bind the side seams of one of the back pieces, and you can see this is the right side of the fabric. My dart is there. That's the wrong side of the fabric in there. And this is the way I've pinned, and this is the way I'm going to sew. I want the edge stitching there to be super accurate, because when you fold this inside, you know, when it's sewn, that's what's going to be seen inside. So that is the way I've been binding everything. So I'm grabbing onto these long tails here on the start so that the machine doesn't eat up everything. This is the edge that I want to be seen, super neat. On the back you can see it's a little bit wider, and I did that purposely when I was pinning to make sure I catch everything here. I don't want to leave edges without catching. So on the other side it looks a little wider, but it's still very neat, and it doesn't really matter because this will be folded like that, and no one's going to see this side that's underneath. It's this side that's going to be visible, and I think that's where you should concentrate your efforts to get a really nice look. So I finished the binding of one of these pockets. It's a whole round area, but there is one of these that is straight. All the rest is really round, so choose the straight area to join the binding. So I haven't joined the binding straight like that. If you get binding and you have both edges be straight and you try to sew them together like that, this is bias. And when you sew this seam straight down, it's going to end up stretching it, making it wide and really wonky. So you want to join these at the diagonal. You want your binding edge to finish slanted, because this is the straight of grain here. That's how you want to join the two ends of the binding together. So I'll show you what I've done to this one that's partially pinned. I've still got the end, like I've still got all the row here. So I have my edge here. So you can see that's that, how it would be wrapped. But let's just show you how this is, because it's got those folds. This diagonal cut there is a straight of grain right there. So if I pin this all the way around there and just leave that like that, I'll put a pin there, I get this other side, open these folds too, and just wrap it on top. I want to sew these together with a quarter of an inch. That means I need to cut this from there. Let's pretend that's quarter of an inch. That's another quarter of an inch. So there, this is where I want to cut my other side. So I have that overlap there of half an inch right there. So I'm just going to do a little cut there. And now this is the one that I want to cut diagonal this way. So now when I put these together, they match. See?
one, it's really fiddly, there. So you have one diagonal this way, one diagonal that way. And now when I unpin this, I just got to unpin part of it and then bring these right sides together. I can sew them right sides together and they will match. So this is what you're looking for there. So it is a bit fiddly because you've got the whole pocket hanging there. So I'm not going to back stitch here. And I'm sewing a quarter of an inch from the edge. So this is what you want. You want this seam uniting the two ends of the bias tape to be diagonal. This is straight of grain and that's how it's going to be stable. When you open up this seam, your crease lines here are going to match, as you can see there and there. And then you can just go ahead and fold these in and wrap around the edge of the pocket. And it's going to match. Now, I didn't back tuck. I left long tails. I'm just going to knot these by hand. Look, if you've never united bias tape in this way, practice first with some cotton ones that you might have that are more stable and easier to work with. Just so you get the hang of the technique, just to cut it and make it work. Remember sewing at a quarter of an inch seam allowance, so when you overlap one over the other, cut it half an inch longer so you have that overlap. And then practice sewing it together. I promise you, if you sew it the other way around, just straight down, it's going to be super bulky and it's just going to look terrible. Okay, so I've secured those ends so this isn't going to fall apart or anything. And now when you open this seam, you're going to have that excess there, that little peak. Just trim it away. Same as on this side. And you will have perfectly joined ends. So if you fold that in, fold that in, fold it, and this is what you're going to use to wrap around the pocket.
The center back seam has the bias tape made out of a satin, and this is what I used in the tutorial I made in the channel last year. I made like a lot of yardage, just enough to do this. So you see these epaulets here on the top? I have actually decided that I don't like them. Look, when I've given myself the chance to like them, I have put my jacket on a few times, looked at them and decided, you know, it's not something I want to ever sew on a pattern ever again. If I have another pattern that has that detail, I think I'm not going to enjoy it. You might like it, you know, it is something extra there that I think doesn't really serve a purpose other than being decorative. So if it's decorative and I don't really like it, I might as well not repeat that. So I'm thinking about actually digging in there and taking it out. I would have to undo part of all this collar stand, because this collar has a collar stand. You can see there, little collar stand, and then the collar. And this epaulette, which is two layers that are interfaced, flipped over, which means that on the edges you have four layers, plus the interfacing, that is all tucked into the collar there. And it made the sewing construction of this area of the collar super bulky. The experience when I'm sewing, to have my machine like going through 1,000 layers, I can feel those layers and the weight of those layers on my body. Like when I put the jacket, I can feel that bulk here, right in this area, which is a sensitive area. Here you can see the storm flaps. These are two little pieces you saw that were cut separately, and I used the same color, just a polysatin lining fabric to line them. I did an extra step, which was to understitch this lining inside so that it stays inside. The pattern doesn't have you do that. It just says sew the two layers, flip them and press them and top stitch. So you would see a lot of top stitching on this jacket that I haven't done. I haven't top stitched the collar or the lapel or the storm flaps. I've just left it. I wanted mine to look just a little bit cleaner without the top stitching. This is the back part of the storm flap and it's joined to the front storm flap. It's like its own little layer. Actually, it looks like a little bolero once you finish sewing that. And then you put this on top of the jacket you're making and you sew it all on the armholes. Knowing that this storm flap area, that in the pattern they call a yoke, is sewn all the way around the armhole. There are three layers of fabric here on the armhole and only one layer of sleeve. and you can tell the difference when you're sewing them together, and it's another bulky area of the garment. In here you have some armhole darts, which means there's even more bulk there in those areas. On the back arm side there is also a dart that's very hard for me to show, but it's covered by the storm flap, so you don't see those darts. I wonder why they couldn't be removed, why you need that extra bulk right there, plus the sleeve, plus the storm flaps, that sort of thing. So those are things that I didn't find that enjoyable in the sewing aspect in this area like that. And I think my sleeve on the back looks just like the sleeves I see in the modeled photos on the website. There's just so much ease there, you know. I'm so good with setting in sleeves. I rarely have to unpick an area, if any, where there'll be a little pleat or a little pucker or something, a little gather. But with this one, I had to attempt and try a few times. When you see the seam, you don't see any gathers or pleats or anything, right? But I really do think this one would benefit from a shoulder pad. Just because of the amount of ease, I think a shoulder pad and like a system that's more tailored in here to give all this area more structured would give a better result than just sewing it simply like just like a normal jacket without all that tailoring. I had only some yardage of the bias tape, and I knew from the get-go what seams were the ones I wanted to bind and the ones I didn't want to bind. I always knew I did not want to bind the shoulder seams because of all the bulk with the collar and the sleeves. Look, you have a pin there. I have a pin holding that epaulette down. I'll take it off. If this was bound, I would have all that bulk in the collar and on the sleeve on this area, because you know this is bulk. It is layers of fabric there. Even if it's lightweight, it is bulky. So my shoulder seams aren't bound and I never intended to bind them. The seam that unites the sleeve to the armhole also isn't bound, it's just serged. I would not want to bind that either. I think that's bulky as well. And I have really clean finishes on the sleeves that are just also serged and pressed, although the pattern doesn't make you bind because you would have a lined sleeve if you're following instructions. I did my hem by hand sewing. I didn't want to, you know, sew it with machine. This vent was really fun to sew. There are mitered corners already in the pattern, so you don't have to measure or think or do anything. Another area that I didn't bind was the hem. I really think that's super bulky. This business here was a little bit tricky. I did a lot of hand basting on this binding to get it really neat. This little short one is bound up to the edge right there, and then the one that comes from the bottom sort of catches it there in that raw area, so there's no raw areas there. And then it does that curve to catch this seam because the center back seams are pressed together, they're not separate. So that I would say was a little tricky there to get it right, but it looks nice and it's nice and neat. I think the color of my bias tape matches this color, so I'm glad that goes well. And on the front, we have the inside of these welt pockets that is bound. You saw how I united this area, and we have facings that are bias bound. I'm really proud of the insides and how this jacket looks. I have my Soraya jacket on top of my Sonata dress from Love Notions. I would always want to wear a jacket like this over a dress that didn't have a full skirt. Something with too much volume here on the bottom I think would make the jacket stand out a little bit. The jacket is sort of boxy, so I wouldn't want to wear a lot of volume under here. I think this is the most volume I would want to wear with a dress underneath. Otherwise I could wear a top that's a little bit longer than the jacket with a fitted pencil skirt or fitted pants. That is the way I would like to wear something like this. That's how it looks on the back. Consider that I added 2 inches to the length, otherwise it would be super short for me. This is how the jacket looks on the front. There's no closures, so it just hangs open like that. And then you have facings, and everything inside has Hong Kong finish. Almost everything. This is the storm flap. It is lined. I've just chosen regular lining fabric, a poly satin in the same tone to have less bulk. You can see the little storm flap on the other side. It's lined in the same way, and a little vent right there. It's very short. I really like the way the collar and the lapel lies. It lies super well. I think it's well drafted. The instructions are good. You know, all this area I do like. I don't like this little epaulette. I think I'll actually dig in there and take it out. I did want to try it though. I'd never sewn anything with an epaulette there. But now that I know and I see it on myself, I know it's a detail I wouldn't sew on any other pattern. I think the shoulder position is correct for me now after doing a 5/8 of an inch narrow shoulder adjustment. I do like these details on the sleeves. I think they look nice.
Little loops with a cuff that's sewn.
This is another dress I can wear with my Soraya jacket, and this is the Dana Point top turn dress from Itch to Stitch that I made last year. It's got a lot of navy in there, and it's also a skirt that is sort of A-line, not completely full but not tight either. So I think this is how I would feel okay with this type of jacket. That's a little bit shorter and a little bit boxier. This is a type of jacket that you can't lengthen that much either, or else the circumference at the bottom of the jacket will end up hitting the middle full hip that might not correspond with the size that you've chosen. So that's why I was super conservative in the amount that I lengthened, only to have it hit my high hip. This is the shortest type of jacket I would be comfortable wearing. So I'm glad I lengthened it, but that's as much as I would lengthen it. A shorter type jacket will always have really high pockets up here because there's just no space. So you end up having to lift your arms way up here to put your hands in them. They're very small. Anything you put in here is just gonna fall right out because the entrance of the pocket is vertical. So they are decorative. I would say they are super decorative. That's all they're meant to be. They look nice. I've got everything Hong Konged inside, but they aren't your pockets that are going to be practical for you to put anything inside as such. If I'd made the jacket shorter, they would just like be under my bust basically, because I added the length between the bust and the welt pocket markings. My favorite part about this jacket is how this area looks on the front. I love how this collar hangs and how it was sewn. Everything's really, really nice in there. This look of the storm flap there, I think it's just different to anything I've ever made, you know. But then again, I like the feature of the storm flap, but then it creates bulk to sew in your sleeve. This serves absolutely no purpose here, but just to make it look like it's sort of like a trench coat. I will absolutely wear this jacket. I enjoyed sewing a lot of the details in this pattern. There were a few that I didn't enjoy that much as well, but I don't think it's a jacket pattern I would revisit and would be excited about to sew again. And it's not got to do with all the steps or the difficulty level that is perceived with this type of garment, because I would gladly sew up another involved make again if I was super, super happy with everything. Overall, it is a different jacket. I don't have anything like this, and there are things that I enjoyed in it as well. As you can tell, this review is sort of mixed. There are lots of things I liked about the pattern and about the style, but then there's also other aspects that I didn't enjoy. If I wanted to make this jacket again, it would be a really simple jacket with no storm flaps and epaulets, and then the jacket would lose its style, really. It would just look like a really boring jacket. Those little welt pockets were really fun to do. I always enjoy doing those, but I do find them super unpractical being at the height that they are. On mine, they are a tad lower because I added some length to the jacket. It was a fun sew. I never regret sewing a pattern like this. I am going to wear it. It goes with a lot of my clothes, but it is definitely not a pattern I'll be pulling out to sew again. Those are my honest thoughts about this pattern. I am in no way, shape, or form trying to discourage you from making it, because you might love the epilogue and the storm flaps, and you might love to have a crop jacket, you know, because those are all personal things. I'm just sharing my personal point of view and what my experience was with just the practicalities of it, of the design and how it feels on, the way I feel it on myself, basically. I hope you enjoyed this video and got some practical tips for your own sewing. Can be for any other things. I encourage you to observe a lot before you actually make the pattern, because you can find out a lot about a pattern by the way it fits on other people. That's why I had a really good look at the fit on the models on the website. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you again very soon. Bye.